until 9 o'clock.
How's he calling you?
Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, but I might have to. If you're coming in, then I can get people in. I don't know what's
your
going on.
Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. We'd like to thank you all for your continued support and spreading the word about ThinkBigRadio.com. Have you spread the word today?
Tell me what you did last night.
Hey, audience, this is Corey Rashawn. We are having some technical difficulties with Blog Talk Radio, but I do have one guest that is on right now. So, Zoe, just hold on for a second. Let me do a little bit of my intro.
Okay.
For those that are listening in, okay. For those that are listening in, you have reached Deep Hughes. I mean, oh, my God. I'm flustered because I'm trying to get things fixed. Deep Hughes Live, though, is a part of W Productions, but you've reached Deep Exposure. Deep Exposure is a promotional talk show that we use to give people the opportunity to expose who they are. This is a station that is really all about you. And if you have a business, if you have a nonprofit organization, if you are an artist and you want to reach our audience, you want us to promote you for a year, then this is the place to be. We are not just a radio show. We are a media marketing company that uses media content built to talk about you and to expose you to a potential audience or an audience that needs to know who you are, what you're doing, and that needs the services that you provide. So that is going to be my intro for today. Let me see if I can do a little maneuvering. This is the best thing about being a problem solver. There's never a problem. There's only a problem to solve. So we have a guest that is waiting in the wings currently. Her name is Zoe Flowers, and I'm going to see if I can play her intro. So give me 1 second. Why I do that. Other than that, I'm going to ask people, I hope you guys had a beautiful day today. I don't know if anybody is a Philadelphia fan, but I know I had a beautiful day yesterday watching the game. I know some people might have been protesting with the whole thing with the NFL, but I decided to enjoy myself for the day. And my thing is to solve that problem, all I would have to do is start buying black. And so for those that did tune in to the game, I hope you enjoyed yourself. It was a beautiful Super Bowl. There are a few commercials that I saw and about marketing. And when it comes to marketing, you got to really pay attention to the images and the signs that are out there. Marketing is one of the strongest things that is used to really coax people into buying a product. But you also want to watch about how people are promoting you in these various, what companies are really saying about you. I mean, there's always an image, and the image really tells the culture, possibly, of the company. And so you want to pay attention to that. And there's actually two, maybe in my next break, I'll talk about the two commercial advertisements that were on during the game that I truly did not appreciate, and I will be looking at the companies a little further in terms of what they're doing. But I did get the audio interview, and let me see. I hope this works for you guys. Let's see if this works. We're going to solve a problem here. Hold on 1 second, everybody. I'm going to introduce Zoe Flowers. Reiki master, and a writer with the Huffington Post. Her poetry and essays can be found in Stand Our Ground, poems from Trayvon Martin, and Marissa Alexander, Dear Sister, letters from survivors of sexual assault, and several online journals. In 2014, Zoe interviewed survivors about their experiences with domestic and sexual violence. From Ashes to Angel Dust, A Journey Through Womanhood, is a book that emerged from the interviews. Now, with 17 years of experience, Zoe works nationally and internationally, has appeared on NPR, spoken at Yale University and Smith College,
on the issues of domestic sexual violence.
Zoe Flowers, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well despite of everything that's going around me, on around me. But, you know, my thing is to always look at the rose in the midst of the desert, right? And there
you
we can find some peace. That's right. That's right. So let's talk a little bit about you. You're doing a lot of things. I know you for many years, and I'm loving your journey. Could you give our audience a little history on who you are and how did you get to where you are now?
Oh, my.
the short word.
Well, in 5 minutes or less, right?
Right.
Gosh, Corey, you always ask the most difficult questions. So, geez, it is, Corey, you always ask me this question. so basically, you know, I was a young woman, not unlike many young women, who found herself in a dangerous relationship and had sort of a series of experiences that are not uncommon to many young women. And through art and through journaling and through an intense focus on spirituality and inner work, I came through those experiences and came through those sort of physical experiences of domestic sexual violence, et cetera. But of course, still healing, as we all are, from the everyday microaggressions that come with just being a human on the planet, especially a Black woman in this day and time.
Right. So describe your current work. What is it that you're doing now?
Sure. So now I am an artist. I'm a playwright and a poet, and really started out mainly as a poet, and really just sort of followed that, branched out into writing a book about domestic and sexual violence in communities of color, and then further developed that into a play called Ashes. And then this past summer, I did my first film called Road, and we can talk more about that if you want later. I also sort of my day job and sometimes my night job, I'm the director of survivor programs with the Women of Color Network. And the Women of Color Network is really sort of the perfect opportunity for me to marry so many of my interests and the things that I love. So our work really is to centralize the voices, the leadership, and the wellness of women of color. And so we're based out of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, but we work nationally, and we do lots of training, lots of technical assistance, and a lot of gathering of women of color and supporting women of color who work as advocates in the field of domestic and sexual violence, but also who are survivors.
Right. And I saw a YouTube video, which really is what pushed me to get you on the radio. I was so intrigued by, you know, what was being said and talked about. I do know your work, but that really allowed me to go a little bit more into what you're doing and hearing the issues that are around people of color or women of color in terms of what the issues are. And how important is it for our voices to be heard? Because, you know, when it started off, and the young woman, and forgive me for not remembering her name, the woman that was actually the main person that was delivering the information, she was saying that, you know, words can be spoken, or she can introduce something, and it's about a Black woman that might be going through the abuse or the struggles of being in a really bad relationship, and put a quote out there, but it would be other women that are not of color, Caucasian, or women from different other people of color cultures that speak first before the black woman speaks. So how important is it for women of from the African American or the African diaspora to really put a voice to their reality?
Sure. So you are talking about the Economic Policy and Leadership Summit that we did last week in D.C., sounds like,
mm-hmm.
that we live streamed. So it is very important for women of color, particularly black women. It's really important for us to tell our stories. I think, one, because black women exist in this place of being invisibilized and highly visible at the same time. And so because we're so often visible, you know, in so many ways, we are winning, right? In so many ways, things are really good. But in so many ways, we're not. Also, when it comes to so many things, domestic violence, health, et cetera, right? So a lot of times people think we have it all together, depending on how we present. And so there's this thing of, you know, oh, they're complaining, or oh, there they go again, or, you know, but we're invisible in so many spaces at the same time. So it's important for us to tell our stories, because so often other people tell our stories and try to say who we are and how we are and pathologize so many things that are often the things that contributed to our survival. You know,
right.
Our resiliency, the things that make us resilient, are often pathologized and criminalized. And so it's important for us to remain at the center of our narrative and tell our own story.
Right. The thing about being silent, and being in a place, you know, I'm going to reformulate that. There is a part, and this is what I want to talk to you about real briefly, and then we'll get to your movie.
Okay.
Just let me tell this guy not to mute you. Hold on. the person, men are the issue in some of the cases, because I know there's domestic abuse also when it comes to lesbian relations, now that we have all these different types of relationships, polyamorous, this, that, and the other. But, you know, a lot of it, I feel, come from the hands of a man, and unfortunately, black men. And we're, and my motto, I'm hoping we are, as a collective, moving towards black love and really understanding what love is. And that's, you know, my mission on the other side of things. But are we addressing the men? Is there something in some of these workshops where men are invited maybe to hear, you know, the stories of what the results of their insecurities are? Is there anything being done on that side?
There's lots of work being done in lots of places. So if you're talking about my work specifically, men are always invited
yeah.
to anything that
okay.
I have, as you know.
Okay. Right.
So, right? And so men are always invited to anything that I have. But in addition to that, there's lots of organizations around the country. There's men as peacemakers, there's men stopping violence out of Atlanta, Georgia, there's A Call to Men, which is a national organization, folks can look that up, acalltomen.org. You know, a lot of these organizations focus on healthy masculinity, what healthy masculinity, et cetera, looks like. I personally don't do too much training on that
okay.
anymore. I work in conjunction with, you know, some of these organizations. There's also a new organization that I just started collaborating with called Healing Works, and they're actually out of New York City, and they do a lot of work with young men of color. I also just started dipping my toe into restorative justice work, and so there's a lot of work, not a lot, but there's some work being done on restorative justice that naturally brings out more organizations that focus on issues related to men of color. You know, I am not going to go out and do trainings on, quote unquote, men's insecurities. That's not my job. I'm not doing that.
Right.
My place is full. So,
I got it. Because my thing is, I love women, and there's so many. They're the queens of our community. So, the healthier the woman, the healthier the community. And so, I definitely appreciate the work that you do. Let's talk about the movie. What is the movie?
Okay,
about?
Before we shift that conversation to the movie, I want to say that it's not just a quote unquote man's issue. It's a patriarchal society issue that men often find themselves boxed into. So it's not sort of individual men with the issues. It's really the patriarchal power structure, as we see with all the Me Too and the Time's Up and all that, that is really the issue. The issue is how men and women are socialized, because women also transmit culture, which I know you've heard me say a million times.
Right. Right. No, you're right.
Definitely wanted to say, you know, we don't want to paint the picture that domestic violence is the result of a few, you know, bad men or whatever. This is a societal issue.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you said that. So I'm glad you brought that in. You're right. You're so right. I wanted to take three breaths and say, and what about the movie? So let's talk about the movie, Zoe.
Okay. So
you're up for an award
for
that, aren't you? Yeah. So let's talk about it.
I have been nominated for a Black and Latino Film Coalition Award for screenwriting for my movie Road. So I'm super excited about that. It's finished, but it's in the process of being edited. So I don't know how much I can really say. So why don't you ask me the question?
Can you just tell us a little bit about what it is about?
Okay. So Road is about a young woman living in New York who comes from a family of, or I should say a lineage of spiritualists. African spirituality, et cetera, runs in her bloodline. It has been squashed. It has been squashed, as you know, happens in so many of our families. And over the course of 3 days, a Norse goddess, Anarisha, and one of her ancestors comes into this world to help her connect to her power through various ways over a 3-day period.
Okay. Wow.
It's called Road.
Uh-huh. Look, keep going.
It's called Road. Okay. It's called Road, R-O-D-E, because that comes from spirits riding you. So in certain cultures, being ridden, so to speak, by spirits is one of sort of the highest levels of almost a something that you want to happen. You would want the spirit to come in and help you on your path. And so, but we also know that if we're not following our path, we can feel ridden in other ways, right? So, you know, they say God speaks to you and, you know, softly first, and if you don't hear, you get the hammer. So this is the, so this woman is getting the hammer because she's not really listening.
Right. Wow. Okay. All right, I can't wait to see it. I mean, I was there for a part of it, right?
Yes,
and so I can only imagine. There was a magic on the set when I was on the set, so I can only imagine what the finished product is going to be. And for those that don't know who Zoe Flowers is, you need to get to know this awesome, powerful woman. I'll let people
know where they can find you. I know you also have the book. I actually have that in the directory for you. Go directly to your Amazon page.
Sure.
So if you want to read her work, you can do that. That will be promoted tomorrow. So let people know where they can find you.
Sure. And thank you again, Corey, for having me on. So I'm pretty easy to find. I have a YouTube page because I also do tarot readings, intuitive readings, channeling, et cetera. So I've started to do a general readings on my YouTube page. So you can find me at I Am Zoe Flowers on YouTube, super easy. You can find me on Facebook at I Am Zoe Flowers, or you can find information about productions on Facebook on Tituba Productions. So that's Tituba after the Tituba. So it's T-I-T, the number 2-B-A Productions on Facebook. And I Am Zoe Flowers on Instagram and Divine, D-I-V-I-N-E, by Design, D-E-S-I-G-N-E on Twitter.
Okay.
A lot of information.
Okay. It is, but we'll have it all up in the directory. So, you know, if everybody listening, if you didn't get that and didn't have your pen ready, you could always come to deepexposure.com, click on the photo that is Zoe Flowers, and we'll have all that information for you there. You can click on anything and get to her that way as well. So, Zoe, always a pleasure. I thank you for coming on.
Well, thank you so much, Corey. It was so fun.
You're welcome. Look forward for that movie. Let us know when that comes out, too.
Okay.
All right.
Good.
Thank you.
Okay.
You got it.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. That was Zoe Flowers, folks. An awesome, awesome individual. She's definitely got her thing going on. So I want, like I said, everyone that is on this particular show, they get a directory page. And so you can always go to Deep Exposure. Exposure is the X without the E, X, Exposure. And .com. And so make sure you check her out probably a little later on tonight. If you know where we are on Facebook, that is Deep Exposure, X-P-O-S-U-R-E, on Facebook as well. Go to our page. We'll have that promoted probably no later than 10 o'clock tonight. The pages are up and ready to go. You might not hear the audio until tomorrow, but you can definitely get information about Zoe by going there. Our next guest is Mayel Simpkins, and you know what? I wasn't paying attention to what I'm doing, so I'm going to find his intro, and I'll introduce him. And this is a little bit about Mayel. Give it a minute to
Mayel Simpkins is an author, a musician, graphic designer, and CEO, a transcendental expressionist, and so much more. For the past 5 years, Simpkins has made his mark throughout the Hudson Valley with his live piano guitar performances. Simpkins has also authored a very popular suspense mystery thriller novel, Emanceration Chronicle, Signs of the First, that came out in 2015. His second book, The Poetic Stylings of Mayel Simpkins, was published in April 2017. He is currently working on his third book, Emanceration Chronicles, Why We Fear the Shadows. Mayel performs locally, often as a host and at an open mic at Joanne Murphy's in Poughkeepsie every Tuesday, an open mic at The Warehouse in Newburgh, and a poetry open mic at The Vinyl Room.
Mayel, how are you?
Hey, how you doing today? Can you hear me already?
Yeah, I can. How are you? Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, fantastic. Say that again.
I said I've been listening to the show. I really enjoy it so far. great.
Okay, good, good, good. I'm glad you do. I'm glad you do. So we've got an audience that's waiting to hear a little bit more about you. Give us a little bit of your history, if you can, about who you are and how you got to where you are today.
Sure, not a problem at all. So I've been in the Hudson Valley for about 20 years now, and I did some schooling locally at Dutchess and Marist. And about 5 years back, like your intro said, I dipped myself back into the arts and music and creative community, and I started publishing books, doing live performances, and all sorts of stuff with creative arts. I became a member of the Arts in Hudson, which is the Dutchess County Arts Council, and just become extremely active in everything that's happening locally here in the Hudson Valley. It's a passion, and I love it.
Awesome, awesome. Out of everything that you do, because you're an author, you're saying you're authoring books, you're a poet, and you're a musician. Out of all of those, are they an equal love for you, or is there something that you have a little bit more passion for?
Okay, it's a very good question, and a lot of people ask me that. I have a love of creating in general. Often I'm called a Renaissance artist because I do love to create on all different levels and all different platforms. I would say of my abilities, the writing and the music are probably my strongest. But that isn't to say that my graphic art and photography and even costume design, all kinds of different things, it's not something that I focus on just as hard. With the books, they are projects that allow me to fuse a lot of different artistic directions into one platform. I don't know if you read into it a lot, but my books have soundtracks that accompany them. There's photography, there's voice actors, there's music that you listen to while you're reading. It's a very different multimedia reading experience. So my readers get a sense of, and it's all original. It's all original music, original photography. So they get a sense of a lot of different avenues of my creativity with that one particular product. And I'm very proud of. With the murder mystery suspense novel, Emancerian Chronicles, Signs of the First Emancer, that was my first book released in 2015. The music is suspenseful. When you're reading about the hooded killer, you've got scary music. You read about the detective, you've got investigating music. And then with the scenes on the soundtrack from the beginning of the book, you get like a trailer into the whole story, and you get to hear what they sound like. And you get to experience the emotions behind certain scenes, similar to what they used to do with old school radio shows like War of the Worlds, except specifically directed to go with the mystery suspense novel.
Nice.
And then in 2017, when I released The Poetic Stylings of Miles Simpkins, I did something very similar where I connected the music with the reading, except with the poetry book. Each section is based on a different emotion. So let's say you're feeling upset and you want to relate to me when I felt upset, or you want to feel uplifted, you might go to my optimistic section, or you might go to my antagonized section and relate to me when I felt that way. Hear music that I composed that's based on that emotion. See local artists that I featured that represent that emotion in some way, and get graphic art to give you a visual representation of that as well. So when you open up one of my books, you're completely immersed in a lot of different creative spectrums. So
now, are you
I would
actually
have to say
opening
that
up a? So, are you opening up a physical book, or is the book coming
absolutely
with these audio?
Now, okay, people generally get it mixed up with an audio book. It's not an audio book, not at all. It's a soundtrack. It accompanies the book. I still want people to do the reading. Reading is so important. But I want to give more than just the words on the page. I want to give them a bigger experience. If you think about it, you were just talking about movies with your last guest. If you went to the movies and there was no sound, there were no voices, no music, you get bored pretty quickly. You'd find it difficult to sit through the movie, perhaps, because
right,
we've evolved
right
past that type of movie. Back in a long time ago, we were okay to sit there with silent movies, but not anymore. And
right,
so my thought is, why not add the same elements that you have for a movie, but for a book.
Right. Right. Good concept. Very good concept. And so is this why your company is called Transcendental? I can't even say it right now.
Transcendental Expression.
Thank you. It's a tongue twister for me.
That's okay. It's people get the name very confused sometimes. They're like, is it something to do with dental? And they think transgender or something like that. And I always kind of laugh it off, but it's very seriously Transcendental Expression. What a transcendental experience is, or a transcendental situation, it's something that goes beyond the normal, helps you perceive things in a different way. And so when I named my company that, specifically I wanted people to understand that the products and services that I offer and create are beyond your typical expression. It's beyond what you're normally going to get in any particular scenario. So with the books, you're getting more than the words on the page. You know, with the music, you're getting elevated. You're feeling your perception is something different as a result of listening to the music, as a result of listening to the words, reading the words that I've expressed. It's geared toward creating a platform for people to grow and experience something different and bigger.
Gotcha. So, do you provide this service for other authors? And, you know, who are your clients?
I mean, my clients are pretty widespread in terms of, like, people that have joined into the culture of my books and so on. I have been asked to ghostwrite. I have not taken on any of those projects as of yet, but it's something that I am capable of doing. And then on the performance side of things, I do a lot of live performance, like you mentioned. I play piano, guitar, I sing, I do spoken word poetry, I even rap a little bit when the mood hits me. But when I work with students on that level, I teach them how to design their own music, how to take general concepts of piano or even guitar, and then grow that into something that is unique and their own.
Okay. So where can people find you?
I mean, you can find me all over the web. If you just go to Google and type Myel Simpkins, you'll find hundreds of pages for me. I'm in every form of social media, whether that be Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, even Tumblr. I reach out in all kinds of different directions. You'll find, if you go to Facebook and type in Myel Simpkins, you'll find about 20 pages because I have a page for every type of different creative avenue that I work with. So let's say you're interested in my photography, you can go to my photography page. If you're interested in my poetry, you go to my poetry page. If you're interested in my music and so on, you go to that page. And each individual book that I'm working on has its own page as well, but they all connect to each other, kind of like the stems of a tree, which was settled at the base of Transcendental Expressions.
Well, you're the root of it all, correct?
Indeed. I've been running Transcendental Expressions since 2011. So in my seventh year, we've really grown quite a bit in terms of, like, just more innovative solutions to all kinds of different, you know, needs of our clients. So.
Okay. And you're also a host. You host a few shows in the Hudson Valley.
Yep.
From what I understand.
That's correct. I'm a busy guy. I run a lot of – I DJ as well as host and perform at a lot of open mics locally, but I run my own at Juan Murphy's every Tuesday at 8 o'clock. It's a free event. You just come by, have some food or whatever, and enjoy the music. I get comedians and poets and, you know, all kinds of singers and all kinds of different forms of artistic expression that show up at that open mic. And once a month, I co-host one at in Newburgh at the Warehouse with Poet Gold, and that one again is every form of artistic expression. And then just recently, the Vinyl Room and a poetry group asked me to host a new venue called Spinning Poetic Messages, and that is specifically for poetry open mic type of thing, which is going to be happening on February 21st.
Nice.
And
just
one other thing I want to mention. I have a lot. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to mention one more other thing. On February 14th, that is the big Valentine's Day, I was asked to do a a few hours of piano performance at a new restaurant called the County Fair in Wappingers. That's right off of Route 9. So that's like it's also a free venue, but it's going to be a few hours of me doing lots of different original music and cover music, having to do it Valentine's Day. So for all the couples or people out there that want to celebrate Valentine's Day, come out and enjoy that.
Yeah, single people who are loving themselves, go on out.
You got to love yourself. If you don't love yourself, no one else can.
That's right. That is totally right. Well, you're really doing a lot. You got a lot going on, and it's good to hear. I got a chance to hear some of your music today. I was liking what I heard. And I just want to shout out the group that we both belong to, because this is how I met you, is the Hudson Valley Professional People of Color. So if you are in the Hudson Valley area in New York, you know, this is an organization for professional people of color. It's a really good group, so I want to give them a shout-out as well, to meet people like Mael and some others. You know, it's a blessing for me, because I've lived up here for quite a bit of time, and when I have moved up here to take care of my parents, I just didn't know what to do, where to go, but you guys have made me a happier man since meeting you all. So
this
was a great connection.
It's great. Yeah, I agree that it's a great connection. Lacey Johnson started it, and I think it's grown, and it's become a really great resource and just a wonderful way to connect with other people of color that are doing things, you know, doing great things. So,
and you just you never know who you can meet. So let me ask you. Go ahead. You have one more thing.
You go ahead.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Do you have anything else that you want to say? You've got 3 more minutes.
Three minutes. What can I tell you? All right. Well, I'm currently working on the sequel to my mystery suspense thriller book. I'm about 50,000 words into that, and I'm hoping to have it out before April, the end of April, for the Comic-Con, because I will be making an appearance at the Hudson Valley Comic-Con on April 21st and 22nd. I'll be promoting my book there, and having the soundtracks and then playing some of the music. There's a lot of new music for the soundtracks. So that's my biggest project that's going to have a soundtrack as well, and voice actors and everything like that, which I'm really excited about. And then I'm going to be, for this year, I'm also be doing a sequel to my poetry book, Volume 2 of the Poetic Songs of Mael Simpkin. And then I'm going to be releasing a brand new series, which is a ghost story series, the Simpkins Mystery Series. And it's going to be based on local people who've had, like, supernatural experiences. And it'll be a fiction series, but based on reality, like based on real experiences. So I'm very excited to finish up when I get to the end of this year. I'll be releasing that book, the first.
Oh, awesome!
So 3 books for this year.
hey, you know, do it up. Where can people find your books?
I'm all over the place. You can find it on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. But if they reach out to me directly, I'm able to provide it at a discount and autograph it. So I always encourage people to reach out to me directly through, like, Facebook, social media, or mael.simpkins@gmail.com. They could just write me and say, hey, I'm interested in your book, and I'll send them a direct link where I can send them an autographed copy, and they'll save about maybe 30-40% off of, like, the other site prices. So.
Okay. All right, fantastic. Everyone, this is Mael Simpkins. You know where to find him, and like I was talking about Zoe, Mael will also be in the directory. And tonight you'll be able to click on his picture, go directly to his page, and click on most of his social media sites. I got most of them up there. You have quite a few that I still have to get through.
I didn't even give you half.
Oh, that's good. Definitely got the main three up there. I got the Twitter, the Facebook, and I think Instagram or something like that. That's up there.
You would have had to put like 40 links if I gave it all to you. I figured the most, you know, best 7 would be good. But I want to say thank you for having me. I really enjoyed being on your show.
Oh, thank you. I can't do this without the talented people in the world, so I definitely thank you for doing, one, what you're doing, and accepting the invitation. So thank you.
All right. Not a problem.
All right.
I'll see you soon. Thanks a lot.
Okay. You're welcome. Good night. And so as we're waiting for our next guest, I will see if she's calling in. It is, and let me get her. This is a really interesting night, folks. When you think everything is going to go right for you, you know, you have these incidences, and you just have to take care of them the best way you know how. And so our next guest is Nicole Dickerson. I'm pulling up and queuing her intro right now. And here we go.
Nicole Dickerson is the founder, CEO of DP Properties Real Estate, LLC, and DP Business Solutions, with expertise in business development, organizational infrastructure, operational management, staff development, deal structuring, real estate financing, and strategic consulting. Nicole was an integral in the generation of up to $500 million in real estate financing through her mortgage lending career at institutions such as Chase, Citibank, and mortgage banking firms. Through DP Properties Real Estate, Nicole has sourced funding for commercial real estate projects both domestically and internationally for $300 million. Nicole has facilitated for private investors, hedge funds, private equity firms that are seeking to capitalize on affordable housing, technology, and infrastructure development opportunities in West Africa. Nicole has developed small businesses in real estate, finance, and marketing sectors, bringing them to profitable, structured organizations with 80% or better revenue, implemented effective branding strategies to increase market shares, trained staff, and management. Nicole studied art management at CW Post Long Island, opting to pursue her real estate license and cement herself successfully in real estate financing sector, evolving into a business strategist. Her passions are women and children, wellness, education, empowerment, community sustainability, and she mentors young women seeking to grow as entrepreneurs.
Welcome, Nicole Dickerson. How are you this evening? Nicole. Uh-oh. Did we lose Nicole? Hold on, I got to get back into
Sorry, I had accidentally... Good evening, good evening. Sorry, I had accidentally pushed the mute button. Sorry about that. How are you, Corey?
Okay.
Thank you for having me. Sorry about that.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
You
look, this is the day that.
Issues, right?
Yeah, I'm having technical issues. The show is going backwards, so I'm glad for and happy for your patience. And to have you on, I mean, you are a wealth of information here. I'm going to have to actually use you as a dictionary of sorts. So,
wow.
when you're saying, you know, you talk about organizational infrastructure and operational management and business development, if you can, in a spoonful, a tablespoonful, kind of define what those would be. For those that don't know.
Okay. Yeah, I guess in layman's terms, it's kind of like, just going in and helping a business, you know, assessing what that business is currently doing, and then strategically helping them to determine the next best steps forward with regards to their staff, their business model, their administrative structure, sales, marketing, just, you know, doing an overview of the business and the different components and making sure that we set up that business for it to achieve maximum profitability. I hope that helps.
It does.
In a nutshell.
In a nutshell. So what is your history in business? I mean, how did you I'm thinking that this is a passion, what it is that you do. And maybe what you should do is describe a little bit what you do now and how that became a passion for you.
Yeah, well, passion is kind of a strong word. I wouldn't say passion. But actually, I started out in over 10 years ago, I started out in lending and mortgage lending, and I kind of grew into was involved in many facets of that particular industry and different divisions of that industry, so from soup to nuts in that industry. And that was pretty much the framework for what I'm doing today. So I covered sales and management, training, administration, you name it, I did it. And what led me to business development, because we're talking about the business development aspect of my business this evening as opposed to the real estate. So I just want to be clear to your audience with that, because you mentioned things like organizational structure, management, and so forth. So I just want to cover that area tonight with being clear about the business development. So that experience was the framework for what I do today, because I saw a need for small businesses that were not quite clear, you know, in the major corporations with the structure and the organization, and I saw a need for that to help them better organize, better structure, and really brand themselves to be able to increase their revenue and cut costs. So what I do enjoy, I'll use the word enjoy. What I do enjoy is strategizing, structuring, organizing. That speaks to the math lover and the engineering mind within me. Yeah, that speaks to that aspect of me.
So you're saying that a more organized business can save money?
Absolutely, absolutely, because you can streamline things, you know. You have a very well-oiled machine, and small businesses, even though you may be a mom-and-pop shop, you still want to think, when you think franchise or you think McDonald's, I don't know if we should be plugging these organizations, but when you think of these franchises and chains, you know, I was using the fast food, for example, any McDonald's that you go to, they're all flipping the burger the same way, and it helps to streamline your business. So any business, like I said, whether you're a mom-and-pop shop, you still want to be able to set yourself up so that you can duplicate yourself if need be. You know, you want to have your business where it's streamlined and it pretty much where it can run without you. You know, what if you have to go on vacation? What if someone gets ill or, you know, certain things happen? Life happens. So you want to make sure that your business is streamlined and structured.
Yeah, interesting. Because I think a lot of, you know, people want to put their own spin on something, thinking that it would help, but maybe it could be actually hindering, to not do it a particular way or a certain way in terms of running their business. Well, you know, some people want to be so unique that it adds, you know, no value actually to their wallet. Like, you know, maybe
I think that uniqueness is something that, so like that's what I'm saying. So I come in and I do an assessment. So I'm going to recognize that uniqueness. So what I'm going to do with that uniqueness is we're going to say, okay, we can separate that from the assess, from the streamlining, and highlight that as part of the branding, because I also am aligned with the wonderful Corey Rashad in marketing. So I'm going to take that uniqueness and we'll wrap that up in the branding. So we don't have to, it's this part of assessment that goes back to organization saying, okay, you know what, this uniqueness needs to be utilized in this area or in this way. We don't have to eliminate it because that's what makes you, that's your brand, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it's almost like, you know, you can, everybody can have a house, and not to bring up real estate, but everybody can have a house. But if the house is not functioning correctly, then, you know, it's not going to, you know, you're going to be tripping over the garbage can and doing this. Everything has to have its place, but it can have its unique space and its unique look. And I think that's kind of what, you know, a lot of small businesses and even mid-sized businesses, of course, are missing. And I think even in the planning, and I'm just taking it from a personal start, space, you know, starting my business, you know, I come from an architectural background. And so I know how to structure a job from start to finish, and that's what works for me in marketing. It's like, okay, we start here, start here, start here. We build here so that we have a finished product. We've got a building that's built, that's functioning. But, you know, when you are, you know, really running the show, you find out that you've got to keep the books, so that you've got to go out and have the meetings together, you know, develop your own cards, or, you know, maybe delegating work is not everybody's strong point, you know, and, you know, really sitting down and talking those points out, knowing what your strengths are and your weaknesses are, so that you can actually fill in the weakness so that you are smoothly running strong. I'm a witness to your greatness, you know, which is a beautiful thing. This woman, Nicole Dickerson, is an extraordinary woman when it comes to, yes, your engineering brain, because it truly is that, and your mathematical skills, which I think really helps to create that the ability to organize, because even music, you know, I've known you to do that too, but I'm not going to go that far back into our history.
I'm an artist at heart. So when you use the word passion, I mean, you know, music, dance, those are my passions. And but I naturally gravitate. I love math and engineering. I mean, I've loved that since I was a kid. So it's just, that's how my brain works. So when you said something earlier about organization, so every business has to have a foundation. You know, you have to have a solid foundation on which to build the house. So even if you are three people, you know, your small size business. Well, I mean, I work with businesses that are they've been in business for a minimum of 3 to 5 years, so they're probably, at that point, you're going to have maybe about 4 or 5 people. So you want to make sure when you're assessing that, like you mentioned before, you may have to wear a couple of hats, but you want to make sure that everyone is in their lane. So you're not just assessing the business model, you're also assessing the human resources that are there and saying, okay, you know what, we need to make sure. So we don't want to have, if we don't want your accountant to be running the sales department. That's just not going to work, you know.
Right.
So we have to make sure that your human resources are being put to use wisely. So there are many different factors that go into developing the infrastructure of the business, not just the sales, because whatever your product or service is, you have to drive sales in order to bring in revenue. And there's different components. As we mentioned earlier, there's the marketing, you know, your legal, your accounting, your whatever the internal workings of the business are, and that's where the assessment comes in at. So that is part of the foundation, and now you're dealing with the architecture. You know, you're changing the landscape, maybe editing, revising, adding to. And that artist in me allows for me to be creative and flexible and understand all of those moving parts. So, yes, you can be organized, but you don't want to be rigid. So, you know, I bring that balance to yes, there's the engineering math, you know, the mathematical by that structure and organization. But then you have this quirky artist over here that's like, okay. So we want to be creative because we want the business to be fluid and profitable. Yeah.
Right. Awesome. Well, where can people find you? They can go directly to your website, correct?
Yes, my website is www.dpbusinesssolutionsre.com, and I can be reached at 917-819-2660.
Okay. Everyone, you heard it right here. This is Nicole Dickerson. There are no words I can say. I do want to say thank you for being patient and staying on so that we can get you on, and truly pray for a better Monday next Monday. But
yeah, definitely. Awesome.
For those who stuck with us till the end of the show, I thank you for being here. Nicole, thank you for coming on. I definitely, again, I appreciate it.
And thank you so much for having me. It was my pleasure.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Okay.
All right, folks, so you heard it here. This is Deep Exposure, your host, your casual host, your casual conceptualist host, Corey Rayshon, pulling it all together. I made things happen. I got things to work for me. I want to thank my staff and the owner of this network, Ken Blake, for being my strong man on the other end of this show to make this all happen. I didn't have to cancel, and that's what I like. We got another Monday in. We got a whole new slew of guests for next Monday. Remember, Deep Exposure, every Monday at 8:30 on Think Big Radio. Thank you for tuning in.
You're listening to thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.